back to Tesh Matters with Jeff Boggs, the voice of the Tesh. Phone lines are open. Reach out and touch Jeff at 367-1240.
Indeed, they are, 367-1240. If you'd like to be a part of our conversation when we do have a guest in studio, we ask that you try and keep it consistent, or guests as the case is. Mike Landry, Iberia Parish Council member, as well as Natalie Bernard Broussard, Parish Council Chairman. How are we doing today, folks?
Doing great, Jeff.
Good.
Good to have you back. By the way, I think since the last time you were in, you qualified and were, elected by acclamation. No challengers.
Yes, and I want to thank the people of District 2 for putting that confidence in me to let me go on to finish this term out. So thank everyone.
There you go. So again, we'll start with last night's. Was there an ad hoc meeting last Tuesday as well? Anything substantive out of that?
We did have an ad hoc meeting last week.
And again, this is over the Home Rule Charter.
On the Charter Committee. One thing, Mr. Raveen Broussard resigned, and I replaced him with Jonathan Norris that day, actually. And Mr. Norris was able to come a little bit late, but was able to join us for that meeting. Really, where we got to in that meeting, the big significance is trying to figure out what's the proper way to determine how the parish president should be paid. I think everybody's on the same page and agrees that how it is now, taking the average of the salary of three other elected officials, that salaries have kind of nothing to do with us, and how we get to where we are is not the proper way. So trying to come up with some ideas. So if anybody has any brilliant ideas up there and some suggestions, call any member of the committee, because that was the homework we were assigned with, is trying to come back with some ideas. Some of the things that were thrown around is maybe like a base pay with a 5% increase each year that you're there, but the base pay would automatically go back down to the original base pay with a new parish president. So we don't have this uncontrolled, constant growing salary. So that's one of the ideas that was kicked out. Another one was a percentage of the millages collected. So different ideas are out there flowing. So looking forward to some feedback from the community on that.
You know, happened to see a story, and I'm pretty familiar with the concept of more of a city manager. Maybe you have an elected mayor or parish president, but it's more of a part-time role. Speaker of a council, maybe, and then you hire someone who's actually proficient in running government, managing a city. Is that a possibility? I know it's not necessarily I think they're proposing it in Gonzales, but again, is that something that might be on the table?
There was some discussion about that actually at the meeting. The I think St. Mary Parish does that. They have like a manager as well as their parish president. So there was some discussion. I didn't get any kind of feeling that the committee was leaning towards making that big of a change, but it's definitely something that's up for more discussion.
And, you know, I prefaced some of my comments last week in talking about it, not necessarily, and maybe you and I had this conversation too last Tuesday, the idea that it has nothing to do with this particular administration.
Absolutely.
But every once in a while, one doesn't go so well.
Correct.
Maybe a recent memory might be out there. But again, when I make those comments, I think it's an interesting idea to look into in hiring a professional by an elected board. And there'd still be that opportunity for the voters to have some control over, you know, that position.
And that's part of what we were looking at is, you know, the parish president can't be an expert in all aspects of the operations of what he's running. So you may have someone very good with the drainage issues, or you may have someone very good with the budget issues. But to be able to get a parish president who knows everything, I mean, that would be pretty hard.
No doubt. So they're kind of stuck on the salary issue right now, and that's what they'll start with, I guess, in the next meeting?
Yes, that's where we'll begin, yes.
Very good. Anything else worth noting on that? Last night, a special meeting held to really gather information as to what the Hurricane Levee Protection District is proposing and whether or not it makes it to a ballot in November.
Yes, the district will be meeting tonight, and we are anticipating that they will be passing a resolution coming before the council tomorrow night to authorize them to put forth a tax on the November ballot, a millage, to help fund the levy. I know there's a lot of rumors and misinformation and information out there, and I thought it was important to get as much information as we possibly could for the council members before they needed to make a decision tomorrow night. So I did call a special meeting. I invited representatives from the levy board there, representatives from the Acadiana Flood Protection Coalition, and representatives from CPRA. Which is the state agency, and we had several members of the state agency come in from the governor's office last night. It was much longer than I anticipated. I told them that I felt that they would be on the road back to Baton Rouge within an hour, hour and a half, but we went a full 2 hours, if not a little bit over 2 hours. But it was a very informative meeting. A lot of council members asked a lot of questions, and I think the public got a lot more information than they had, and we were able to put a lot of the misinformation to rest. I think it was important to have everybody in the same room at the same time and not, well, he said to me and he said to me. We all heard it at the same time and had the opportunity to ask our questions. Do you have something to add, Mike?
You know, and I would encourage all the citizens to look at Acadiana Open Channel because they were there filming it last night, and they could get a good understanding of what we got and if how they feel about it. If they need to call any council member or anything else on how that we should vote, I think, which is important, that all everyone in the parish looks at this and try to get, you know, on the same boat.
Yeah, and you know, you're... Both of you, for the most part, represent more inland portions of the parish. Trying to explain to those residents how they're impacted as much as the coast is.
Well, and we've been getting so much information in the last couple of months through this process. And I think the biggest way you're impacted is we're a coastal parish. We are dealing with tides. And so when that water's coming in, it has no place for the rainwater to go out. And so if we have floodgates on all of these canals and they can close those gates and pump that water out, then there's room for the rainwater to go. So this is not something that is just going to be benefiting those areas that are prone to flooding, the Port of Iberia, Delcom. It's going to be affecting all of us because we can get that water out now.
In theory.
In theory.
New Orleans thought they could get the water out.
Well,
but again, that was, a unique circumstance.
We talked about that. I mean, when 10 inches of rain falls in 2 hours, I mean, you know, the guy from CPRA said that exact thing last night. There is no way you can afford the pumps that it would take to get that out. I mean, you just can't do it. So
when you're already below sea level,
yes.
You know, in those kind of situations, people have to understand that sometimes Mother Nature still has some control.
But I think one thing that's really important to realize is that all of our neighboring parishes are doing it. And, you know, you can, they gave me a visual at least last night when you see those levees being built around you, the water just kind of follows those levees along until there's an opening. And if we're the opening, we're in trouble. We're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, I know, you know, when I first moved to the state almost 25 years ago, you know, I was in Lafourche Parish, and they took it upon themselves in the 60s, 70s to tax themselves and slowly start that process. The levee's still not really complete, not all the lifts they want to put to it, and then the constant maintenance of it. But if you look at a map now, you can see how effective it's been.
And that's one of the things he said. You know, the highest point, I think the levee is planned to be 6 feet, but if you don't have the money to get it there, you know, 3 feet is better than no feet. So it's giving you some sort of protection. So doing it in stages, I think another big thing I got out of last night was, you know, the 5 mils that they're proposing for a $100,000 house would be less than $13 a year. And if you're in a flood zone and you're paying flood insurance, that could be a savings, if this levee gets built, of close to $400 or $500 a year for you. So it's really such a minimal cost for the protection that we're getting. And so then I'm thinking, well, okay, what's $2.9 million going to do when we're proposing a $500 million levee system? And the guy from Baton Rouge said over and over and over again, you've got to have some skin in the game. Yeah. And if we don't have any matching funds, then there's no way we're going to get anywheres. And so when you have $2.9 million coming in, they take $1 million and bond that for 20 years and get $20 million. Well, now we have $20 million to put into the game, and overnight we could potentially get $60 million because we have $20 million to match. So we can turn that $1 million into $60 million and really start getting some dirt on the ground much sooner than I ever thought was feasible.
Right. Yes, and I agree with Natalie, and also especially those houses that's in the flood areas. And they know that we redo those flood maps every 4 or 5 years. So I'm not in a flood zone now, and I might be in one 5 years down the line. So I think it's potentially can help everyone out, not only the people on the coastline.
There you go. And again, the jobs it affects, say, at the port or and the tax base, all those different things, no doubt. So you guys meet tomorrow night, both full council meeting as well as, oh, but real quick, in wrapping that up, so do you anticipate in 2 weeks for a proposal to be to the council to put it on the ballot?
I'm glad you went back to that because I wanted to mention that. It will be on our agenda this Wednesday night in committee to vote on to move it to full council, but I don't want anybody to think that after Wednesday night it's too late to get their voice heard to their council member, because it doesn't actually get passed for 2 weeks after that when it goes to full council. So just because it moves on potentially tomorrow night doesn't mean it's too late, because we still have that final vote in 2 weeks.
There you go. And of course, the voter will have an opportunity in November to say
Or
no too. So.
Absolutely.
Absolutely indeed. So tomorrow night, the full council meeting, obviously from 2 weeks ago, committee meetings, consent agenda items, anything that stands out there in regards to those items? I know a couple are fluff right at the start, but
yeah, I wanted to mention this CAFA grant program that was presented to us when we came on the radio last time. I really didn't know a whole lot about it, but they did a presentation, and this is a grant program to help you with your down payment. So whereas you might pay a little bit higher interest rate through their lenders, you don't have to come up with that 20% down, and it's a grant. And I know a lot of our neighboring parishes are doing it and participating, Lafayette Parish, St. Martin Parish, several parishes. So I'm really looking forward to this opportunity for home buyers in Iberia Parish. So if you're having trouble getting a down payment together, consider this CAFA grant and applying for it.
Was that, though, part of the concern about the bubble that burst in the housing bubble back in 2007-08, that maybe people who really couldn't afford the homes in the first place were getting those kind of low or no down payment and then having trouble affording the home?
This is not a no down payment. Yeah. It's a grant for the down payment. So I don't think they're going to be giving loans to people who can't afford the actual mortgage. They're getting their money back through sort of like a little bit higher interest rate is my understanding of how it's going to be.
Gotcha. So, again, that's among the consent agenda items. A couple of ordinances up for final adoption, one approving a request for a special use conditional use permit for the catering facility we've talked about. Yep. Any issues in committee?
No, there were no issues on that in committee.
And then another one denying a request to approve a special use conditional use permit. That was for the camper for the temporary usage on Anchor Drive in District 10. Again, it seemed pretty consistent amongst our discussion last week that no one's in favor of this.
Correct.
So, again, expected to deny. And just a few resolutions up for final adoption. Again, the appreciation to Airport Director Jason DeVilliers. Has he had a chance to go in front of the council yet since his announcement?
He was at a meeting after his announcement, just doing his regular business with the airport, but I believe his last day is already passed. And
I think it's Friday, yeah.
Wish him well. On to his new endeavors, and I wish him well as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. Economic Development District, the boundaries to be redrawn or considered to be redrawn?
Well, to amend them, not necessarily to change the boundaries, just trying to get in. Apparently, there were some of the properties that were within the boundaries that were being used for residential when it was originally done, and now are commercial. So it's just kind of cleaning all that up.
Gotcha. Any further thought on that, Mike?
No, just bringing everybody in line with everybody else and not having some business in it paying it and other businesses just getting skating by, and they're reaping the benefits more or less.
Gotcha. Next item, resolution amending the budget in the amount of some $8,000 to provide funding for digital conversion of the equipment in the council chambers. I thought that work had been done, or is this...
Well, we did about $37,000 worth of the work, and that came from a grant, which didn't cost the parish anything. And we've upgraded most of the equipment, all new screens, the new projector coming down, the new voting system, which is really nice. The problem is that we have to upgrade to digital for the results of the votes to be displayed on the video for the people to see exactly how everybody voted. And so we were $8,000 short from the grant to get that done. But we want to finish that. And it's going to be really neat. Before, when you saw it, just was by the seat number. And you really couldn't tell, unless you're counting seats, who voted for what. But this will actually be by the name. So you'll be able to see very quickly by name who voted yay and who voted nay. So... This, we've been using the updated system now for
a couple weeks,
and we had to get some training on it, but it's really nice, and it tells us who's next in line to speak when they request to speak. I don't have to keep it on a notepad anymore, and it's really making it a lot more efficient and orderly.
Gotcha.
And I think the only other point is, like she said, to go back in the digital, because we're on the old analog system right now. So once that's converted, it'd be really nice.
There you go. Final item up for final adoption, the Canebrook Apartments in District 10. Any discussion in committee as to concerns there?
No, I think the only thing is to make sure that they get that drainage impact study. We're hoping to have that before we have to make a final vote on that.
All right. Do have some ordinances being introduced for publication. Again, not up for final adoption tonight, but again, dealing with vacancies on the Home Rule Charter. Remind me of that issue again.
We're rescinding those because we didn't want to pay for the cost of the election to amend the Home Rule Charter when nothing else was going to be on our ballot. So we'll take that up when we deal with the rest of the amendments to the Home Rule Charter.
Okay. That's two of those three, and then another one, again, for publication purposes, to be considered in two weeks from tomorrow, the ordinance denying a request for a special use conditional use permit for some property on East Old Spanish Trail in District 11 to allow 4,000 square-foot commercial building within a mixed residential zoned area. What were the concerns there?
Well, planning and zoning had public hearings on that, and we were told that the neighborhood, all the residents, were overwhelmingly opposed to having a 4,000 square foot commercial building in their front yard. So they recommended that it be denied because of the opposition of all the neighboring residents.
Even though it was along the highway.
Yes, which is very interesting, because one side of the highway is commercial and the other side is residential.
Do you know what the purpose of the building was?
I do not know the purpose of the building.
No, they didn't state it. I don't think they even stated the planning and zoning. No, they didn't bring it to us and let us know what it was. So.
Yeah. All right. You just, and again, I'm not necessarily one side or the other on this issue, but so often you hear people wanting to build businesses and then get denied and sort of not in my backyard kind of mentality, and sometimes you wonder if those two things aren't a bit of a schism. But then the committees met, and those or the committees will meet, not a lot on the agenda, but again, that executive committee, the levy issue that we've discussed, another item, discuss, consider a resolution certifying that the urgent need national objective is being met under the Community Block Grant Disaster Recovery Program through the Parish Implemented Recovery System.
Yeah, that's just a formality for us to keep that program going through.
Gotcha. So, annual housekeeping kind of
yes,
thing?
Yes, sir.
Gotcha. Finance Committee has a few items. Paul Lander, the committee chairman there, consider a resolution amending the general fund in the amount of $83.95 to provide a carryover for the funding of a van for the Council on Aging. That was previously approved, right?
It was previously approved. The poor Council on Aging have been waiting for this van for, I think it's going on 3 years now. So hopefully we can get this van for them once and for all.
Okay. Another item would require that boards and commissions submit any proposed capital outlay projects being considered for their respective agency to the administration no later than September 1st in order to be considered for submission to the state. What's the concern here?
Well, this was, as I understand it, a request from our state delegation that the parish be on the one page when they submit all of the projects that need. Currently, all of our boards and our agencies submit all their own capital outlay requests to our delegates individually, and we really feel like it needs to go through the administration because the administration has the master plan for the whole parish. So we feel that if we submit them all to the administration, then we can have a meeting and we can prioritize them per the master plan and just try and get everybody communicating and working in the same direction. I mean, we've used the example over and over. If you put sewage lines on one end of town and water lines on the other end of town, you're just defeating the purpose. We need to all be working in the same direction.
Mike, anything further on that?
That's about it in a nutshell. We want, I think the congressional delegation want everything where they can look at it and make sure everything comes out okay. And if they need to get back to us on anything, that they can talk to us before they submit anything.
Gotcha. Another item on that committee agenda, library fund budget, to amend it in the amount of $39,000 plus for various repairs and maintenance, communications, architect fees from the fund balance, again, from the library board.
Yeah, that'll be coming from their fund balance. I know part of it is making some adjustments to the plans for the Coto Branch Library. I think they're going to try to start getting that up and going again. I think they're down to the choice of either having to close the branch or get it up and running to build the new one. But there was nothing in our pocket as to what the other maintenance and fees were, so hoping that we can get some more information before tomorrow night to know exactly what it is that they're trying to do.
Gotcha. Last item on that committee agenda, royalty fund budget amendment in various amounts to provide carryover funding from capital outlay projects.
Yeah, and we had a lot of information in the packet of different projects that that we're trying to get completed. So just housekeeping on the budget to get that carryover straight and do our line items right.
Okay. Just one item on the next two committee agenda items each. Public health safety, a resolution requesting DOTD to review and install any necessary signage to alert motorists of high water on Highway 85, I guess near the first mile marker. This be there permanently? Is there a permanent problem there, or just it tends to be one of those places that you know is going to get high water when it rains?
Yeah, and I think one of the homeowners over there is just having a lot of problems. think the way the highway was built, it carries over onto him. And he said you can't hardly see the water till you're right on it. And trucks and bigger vehicles just come through, and it goes back into his home and all. So we want to install that, and I think talk to the state about redoing the highway or the drainage so it'd be easier to drain that water off.
Very good.
He came in and did a presentation to the council and brought several pictures. And one of the, obviously his main concern is his property and his house flooding, but also he pointed out the safety hazard, because especially at night, you can't see that water that's on the road. And apparently that road covers in water quite often. And so the risk of someone hitting that water and not seeing it. So that's while we're making that request that you put that signage up there so motorists are warned to be careful.
Yeah, first-hand experience driving into high water and not knowing
Correct. It
was there. I was like hitting a wall.
It is.
It's amazing.
Very scary.
It can be. Public Works Committee has an item requesting DOTD to evaluate traffic control at Lewis and Highway 90, the on-ramp, off-ramps there.
Yeah, Mr. Gosherson put that up there. I think it kind of speaks for himself to evaluate whether that light is being sufficient for the traffic when you're coming off of Highway 90 and going on to Lewis Street. So.
Gotcha. Anything else of note apart from tomorrow night's meetings?
Not that I can think of right now. I mean, we've been meeting after meeting after meeting.
And I think the only thing I got, last week I did attend the governor's kickoff conference for drainage study.
Oh, that's right. That was Thursday.
Yes.
Summit. And
the summit for the regional drainage.
The watershed, the Vermilion watershed.
Mm-hmm. So we got a lot of information on it, and the state is full force with this. And one thing the governor did do, he complimented the Acadiana region for taking the bull by the horns and starting this off. So, I mean, that's one thing. We the first one. We're going to be like the pilot program for the state. They got three other watersheds they're going to look at after this one. So hopefully we'll get some answers, and a lot of this will be, you know, helpful in situations, because we do receive a lot of water from St. Martin Parish, from Lafayette Parish, and all that. So hopefully this would be a good thing.
Very good, very good. Is there follow-up? Is there a particular protocol as to how this will evolve?
That's going through the governor's office. And I believe
The regional group.
Larry Richard and Guy Cormier and Parish President Lafayette,
Joe Robidoux,
they all started meeting, I want to say, about a year ago.
And
that's what got us the jump start and got us to where we're in the pilot program, because of their foresight and knowing that this was a regional problem and they needed to address it as a region. So it's great to see our parish president working with our surrounding neighbors and trying to solve everybody's issue and not cause more issues.
Excellent. Well, always a pleasure. Appreciate you guys coming by. And again, tomorrow night, meeting beginning at 6 o'clock, full council meeting, followed by the committee meetings. We'll look forward to the next time.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
Tesh Matters, 10 till 1 on Kane Radio, AM 1240.